CH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from the ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Still no one in custody in the killing of Charlie Kirk, the political activist President Trump has described as a good friend.
This is a dark moment for America. Charlie Kirk traveled the nation, joyfully engaging with everyone interested in good faith debate.
Kirk was debating with students on the campus of Utah Valley University when he was hit with a single bullet in the neck. ABC Chief National Correspondent Matt Gutman has more on the search for the gunman.
That all-out urgent manhunt for the suspect in what officials are calling the political assassination of Charlie Kirk at that college campus here in Utah. Kirk, the right-wing commentator and fierce ally of President Trump, shot and killed in full view of a crowd of about 3,000 Wednesday.
Police think the gunman had targeted Kirk from at least 100 yards away and fled shortly afterwards. Vice President Vance skipping 9/11 commemorations today to travel to Utah. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction is reporting the loss of federal grant funding for two programs. DPI officials say they were notified on Friday that federal funding for the Wisconsin Deafblind Technical Assistance Project and the State Personnel Development Grant have been canceled. The Deafblind Technical Assistance Project was in the middle of a five-year, $550,000 grant cycle, and the Personal Development Grant would have brought in over $10 million over 5 years for special education teachers. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles is reminding residents to check a used vehicle they're planning to buy for potential flood damage. According to a press release, water damage can be difficult to spot and could cause mechanical and electrical issues. Before purchasing the vehicle, residents should check for a damp or musty smell, look for water signs, discoloration, or mud in the engine, and test the functionality of all electrical components. Buyers should also consider having their own mechanic inspect the vehicle. Transportation officials are reminding residents of a closure on Highway A near Chetek this week. The section of Highway A passing under the southbound Highway 53 bridge could remain closed for the rest of the week for demolition work on half the bridge deck. The closure is part of an ongoing effort to rehabilitate seven bridges along Highway 53 between New Auburn and Cameron over 2 years. Following the completion of work on Highway A, construction crews will move on to another deck removal project that will close Highway AA for a few days. The Wisconsin Beef Council and Gather Wisconsin have introduced their 2025 Prime Rib Trail as part of an effort to showcase restaurants across the state. The 16-restaurant trail includes four locations in the Northwest Wisconsin region, including Chicken Chasers Bar and Grill in Fall Creek, Jake's Supper Club in Menominee, Lehman's Supper Club in Rice Lake, and Pine Creek Pit Stop in Ashland. Residents can also nominate their favorite restaurant for consideration in the 2026 Prime Rib Trail on the Wisconsin Beef Council's website or on social media. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers head for home.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball.
The Brewers returning from their road trip to begin a three-game series tomorrow night against the Cardinals at American Family Field. The crew losing again 6-3. The Rangers' Jake Berger hit two home runs. Pat Murphy.
They got every big hit. You know, Berger was in AAA earlier in the season, and he hits two big homers. You know, we get 11 hits. We don't get the timely two-out hit.
NFL, the Packers host the Washington Commanders tonight, led by Dan Quinn, who was once the head coach of the Falcons, where Matt LaFleur was the quarterback's coach. LaFleur on his time there in Atlanta under Quinn.
It was invaluable to me. Like, I'm pretty certain I wouldn't be standing right here right now if it weren't for being with DQ for those 2 years in Atlanta. And just changed my whole mindset and how much fun you can have within the building, yet still get down to business. It was a great environment.
That's Matt LaFleur. I'll have a full recap later tonight after the game from Lambeau Field with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of dense fog through mid-morning. Then expect partly sunny skies to develop a beautiful September day with a high of 71. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows near 50 degrees. On Friday, a mix of sun and clouds, another great day with a high of 75. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
Mr. Darren Von Ruden, who is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. This farm bill is supposed to be passed in 2023.
It's really frustrating that they've forgotten about small farmers. We actually pay more taxes than the billionaires do. Why are those tax dollars not coming back to the communities that pay them? Whether it's through the farm bill or it's other programs, we need to make sure that we keep fighting and let them know that we're not happy.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we make the popcorn pick of the week where we give you a movie suggestion. Then Al Petrelli, guitarist for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, joins to talk about upcoming shows. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06, and nice to have you back here up north on this Thursday morning, September 11th, 2025. We'll be talking later this hour with Brian Kennedy, the mayor of Glendale in Milwaukee County, all about running for local office. He's the national head of a group called Democratic Municipal Officers, and they work to recruit and train the next generation of candidates who serve as mayors and village presidents and city councils and town boards and things like that. So if that interests you, or maybe you're thinking about recruiting a friend to do that, then give a listen later this hour. And of course, if you can't stick around, then we invite you to listen to us as a podcast. Head over to Spotify and follow us that way, and you can catch up with shows anytime that you like. It's a very foggy morning out here on Lake Wissota, and we are definitely not the only place. A dense fog advisory will be in effect until 9 o'clock for a big chunk of the western half of Wisconsin. Basically draw a line up from Richland Center through Toma up to Neillsville, Medford, Phillips, Ironwood, Michigan, and Ashland. And all those points west of that line are in a dense fog advisory with low visibility, visibility a quarter mile or less in some places. And so if you're out there driving, go at a slower speed, use your headlights, and leave plenty of distance ahead of you. And the temperatures, of course, are going to be warming up nicely, as Brittany told us before she began her long weekend. And we have local forecast updates throughout the day on your local Civic Media station. All right, we were talking about video game consoles a little bit earlier, and because it's the anniversary of the Atari 2600 from 1977, and Alicia had already told us that she played on a Nintendo, and Tony had Sega, but there was also a Dreamcast as well. And so we are wondering if there were consoles that you remember or consoles that you would recommend if people were going to be, you know, replacing what they have or buying a console for the first time, because frankly, everything has come up a step from the Atari 2600. So we're recruiting and seeking out your recommendations and your memories on video game consoles this morning. On a much more serious note, however, is I know you think I'm going to be talking directly about yesterday's murder of political agitator Charlie Kirk in Utah. And we've spoken about that in the last hour, and about violence not being the answer, and that violence is not politics, even though some people mistake it for that, that there is no good political violence. It encourages other people to either engage in violence or to speak in violent tones, like the congressman from Western Wisconsin. Derek Van Orden has been on a tear overnight since the murder of Charlie Kirk in Utah, and not in a good way. And I can't read all of his tweets because of the swearing that's in there. But there's a lot of tweets where he says the gloves are off and threatening things like federal funding. In one tweet, let's see, from 9 hours ago or so, he says, "We will be making sure that any institution that celebrates political violence will not receive a single penny of federal funding. Gloves are off." And then there's one where he refers to dirty scumbag reporters who are directly culpable for Charlie Kirk's murders. Somebody asks, "How do you coexist with people that want to murder you?" And Derek Van Orden's response is, "You don't." In other words, in his mind, the de-escalation comes at the point of a gun, apparently. And this is a man with military experience, and I don't doubt all kinds of access to weaponry. There's one where he says he takes shots at Rebecca Cook and Congressman Mark Pocan, saying people like them would have fit perfectly into the Soviet Union. They think they're smarter than everyone and that the government should tell you how to live your life. Okay. Here's a couple more here where he simply says the gloves are off as he reposts others. You've got actor James Woods, who puts a lot of extreme and violent language out there. And he says, "Don't call it gun violence. It's Democrat violence," which Derek Van Orden reposted and said, correct. He refers to disgusting the chaos that broke out on the floor of the House of Representatives. The chaos that broke out when fellow Republican Lauren Boebert of Colorado insisted on a spoken prayer rather than a moment of silence. In other words, she wanted special treatment for Charlie Kirk compared to all of the other moments of silence that were held for victims of all political stripes. Most of them innocent victims. But Lauren Boebert wanted something different. And when people disagreed, needless to say, there was a woman from Florida, a Republican, who started shouting F-bombs at the Democrats. Just not one of the more graceful moments on the floor of the U.S. House. Here's another one about Derek Van Orden saying the gloves are off and these horrible vultures claiming to be journalists must be held accountable. Here's one where he says, in response to somebody, "F these bags of scum." Let's see. He takes a, there's another, the gloves are off. Here's one where, Nicole Wallace from MSNBC, speaks about how political violence has often been committed by Republicans and people who consume conservative media. And Derek Van Orden puts it up and says, "This is the problem. This garbage is the problem." Here's one where he says of another podcast host, "I would love to have coffee with this piece of," and then uses the S word there. Once again, we get another shot at Mark Pocan, where he says to somebody, "You and your Golden Corral fat F buddy Mark Pocan do not seem to understand how far out of touch you are with everyday Americans. You people are culpable for Charlie Kirk's assassination." Here's another one where he pledges zero tax dollars. Here's one where he says, "I don't think the SOBs," and he spells it all out, of course, "that are celebrating this horrific crime have ever watched the movie The Unforgiven. They called the wind, and they are about to reap the AI-empowered whirlwind. These people want a Nazi fascist country. We're not going to do that." These are all from a congressman. All right. Here's an F this terrorist, referring to the show TMZ. When somebody asks, "Why are you surprised?" Derek Van Orden reposts it and says, "Because they hate God." Here's one where he says to another journalist, You are directly culpable for this assassination and the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. I am not sure that you understand what you and your horrible people have done. Gloves are off, you effing mayonnaise person. And, oh, wait, more have come up. He's still going. Wow. There. I refreshed the screen and so many more have come up, calling people scum every chance he gets. More scum, more agreeing with people who called other people scum. And I know I have one or two others. Oh, nope, that one's just scum again. This one, you sowed the wind, you punk. Again, Derek Van Orden essentially threatening violence to other people. Here's more scum. He says of another group saying, this is the left, meaning the political left. This is the left. They are about to get a right, you know, as in a punch. All right. I hear some of you calling for mercy and saying, look, how long are you going to be reading? Are you just going to read Derek Van Orden's Twitter feed? In this particular case, yes. And, you know, it's something I've wanted to do for a long time, but I knew it wasn't going to necessarily make for great radio, except now in this kind of context. I mean, Derek Van Orden talks like this all the time, usually in drips and drabs, but occasionally these late night rants where he goes off in tens, if not dozens, of tweets, calling people names, not sometimes not directly, just reposting other people's things and referring to them as scum or using the F word for them. This is his primary constituency. These are the people he most wants to talk to and the people he most wants to please and the people he most wants to agitate. And you might say, well, he is just reacting very strongly to Charlie Kirk's murder. I believe it has gone further than that. This is no longer a man reacting or reacting angrily to the murder of a political figure that he agrees with. At some point, you are now using this killing for political purposes. You are politicizing what's going on, especially when you're continuing to want to agitate, sow division, and more or less encourage violence with all of the times that he essentially said, you know, that a punchback is coming in some way, shape, or form. Derek Van Orden was nowhere to be found in some of these other mass shootings that have happened and in political violence. He went so far as to do some inappropriate name calling after one particular political violent tragedy. And you all know this. If you listen to this show, we've talked about this. So why am I bringing it up again? Because so many of your neighbors don't. They see the softball coverage on local TV stations or the quick little write-ups in newspapers. And I'm not saying there's never been a hard-hitting story done on Derek Van Orden, but on the scale between fluff stories and journalism that tries to hold Derek Van Orden to account, the scales are not balanced at all. And some of it borders on stenography. Having seen what a member of Congress from Wisconsin has put out in less than 24 hours since an act of political violence in this country, I am again asking, challenging Wisconsin media to, first off, whenever he does pop up again, because he's not doing town halls, so whenever he does make another spontaneous appearance, if you're able to be there, I really hope your first question isn't about whatever it is he wants to talk about, but whether he thinks this is behavior befitting a member of Congress. Or don't wait for him to show up unexpectedly in your community and call the office right now. And frankly, a lot of his constituents could call the office right now or at some point during the day. I'd urge you to look up his Twitter feed just so that, you know, you have it in front of you. And that way they're not saying, well, you're just going off things that you heard. No, take a look at it. And then maybe call his office. And remember, the people who work in these offices, they are not the members of Congress. You do not need to unload on them. But you can make your point of view known and say, I would just like to know if the congressman thinks that this is the kind of behavior that he thinks is appropriate in the wake of an act of political violence. He knows better. He knows it's not, but he can't help himself. And those of you who are already fighting about this in the comment sections today, watching this program, you may as well take a step back. You know where we stand on this, and you can only throw sand for so long before we start hitting hide and delete buttons like I wish somebody would have done a long time ago to Derek Van Orden. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
There's no better place to catch Brewers baseball than right here. Every pitch, every hit, every home run.
And a fly ball to right center. Malloy is back, and this one is going again for Hoskins.
We've got the action all season long. Turn it up. Brewers baseball lives on your local Civic Media radio station. 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation, and your home for the Brewers.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We've got... more with Pat Kreitlow coming up on the Buzz of the North as soon as Joel hits the right button. Joel here, Joel Carnick, Greg Gunderson. A good Thursday, Mr. Gunderson.
Happy, happy Thursday. Football starts today.
I am so excited for tomorrow because tomorrow morning's show, we're going to talk about a couple of football things I think that are going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, football starts tonight. The Eagles will blow out the Cowboys. I'll give you 20 points.
You think so?
I think so.
Man, I don't know. I think the Cowboys, well, they've geared up in the wide receiver room. They've got a new head coach. It should be at least a matchup worthy of the spot for at least the first quarter. What all you right. get past Q2, yeah, well, yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow.
We'll talk football tomorrow. Today, two segments. Segment number one is not going to be about dogs. Segment number two will not be about dogs. Okay, we're talking about cats and dogs is okay. What I'm trying to say.
I was going to say, what is it, hot dogs and not dogs? Or what are you setting up here? Because
we're going to start out with the evil of the two twins. We're going to start out with the evil side, the cat. Okay, that might be a bit much.
I struggle. You know, like any other cat owner, Joel, you and I learned that cats are not what people say. And we probably learned that, well, maybe before we got cats. But I didn't grow up with cats, did you?
I grew up with barn cats because my mom did not want cats in the house.
So, but you at least were exposed to cats, and I was not. So I grew up with lies. I grew up with the lie that cats are, that there's nothing to love about a cat, and your cat will pick the friend of yours who hates them the most and love on them. And that one's true. But
if someone has allergies to cats and they walk into your house and you have a cat, that cat will go directly to that person who has
allergies.
But
there's reasons behind that, though. You know, like, my first year living with my buddy Lou was a lot of learning. You know, I had to learn a whole new language of affection that dogs just don't usually touch on. Mm-hmm. And with a cat, it's all on their terms. It's not when you want it. It's when you both want it. And I think that's a lot more than people realize they're kind of grasping.
Yeah. Cats are definitely there for you to make them happy.
Yeah.
And dogs are kind of there because they want to make, it's the opposite. Dogs want to make you happy. Cats are just like, it's all about me. Dogs are kind of like, well, occasionally I'd like a belly rub, but hey, I'd do anything for you.
Dogs are pets. Cats, if you let them group up, they'd make a social movement. Like they'd get things done. Yeah, exactly. Like if they decided that they needed a house key, they might unionize about it, you know? Like they could do that and focus and collect their efforts.
I'm imagining what the picket signs would say as they're picketing in front of your house.
Well, they'd all say meow, but there'd be flavors to it and various, there'd be nuance. But like, that's just it. Cats are a little more thoughtful. I don't know. Dogs are a bit more basic, I think. And I love them both.
And we have great humane societies around the area right here in Hayward that do a great job with our animals. But I've often wondered, because my mind wanders. I told you the other day, my wife and I, we took a little trip down to see my mom last week. And after we left, I told my wife, I said, what if we come back and my wallet and all my money are gone and so are the cat? So do we assume that someone stole both, or the cat took my money and the wallet and is gone?
Was this the beginning of the spinoff series, Heathcliff Hits the Town or something like that?
Yeah. But cats, I've often wondered what it would be like if we decided to domesticate a different animal. Let's say we let cats be wild. We just, way back when cats started to be domesticated, it was the rat, or it was the ferret, who are kind of domesticated now. But what if it was a different animal? Would they have the same traits, because that's just what we made them into?
You're asking the nature versus nurture question. Yeah. Like, are cats that way because they're that way, or because we domesticated them and made them that way?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I'm not going to answer that question, but I'm going to theorize about animals that could act like cats that would be hilarious. Like, imagine horses acted like cats.
Oh, that would be
just picture a horse perched up on a high place. Like, how did you get up there?
Need a larger bed, too.
Yeah, call the fire department. There's a horse stuck in a tree again. Come on, man. They can get up there, but they can't get down. It's the hoose. You know, like, I love this world that we almost could live in there. But I think it's the nature of the cat. And I think you can tell that because big cats still act like little cats. Like lions, tigers, the big cat refuge places. There's one guy in particular, this muscly dude with short, frosted tip color hair, who does rescue work with big cats, and he does social media stuff. So you'll see a lot of videos, like, the cats that he hangs out with act like my buddy Lou, but with murder mittens. I mean, like, with the whole, here's 2 inches of death attached to each little toe bean. But they act like cats. They all act like cats. So I think they are that way. I think people would probably, like, there's definitely creatures out there we could ruin, though. Like pigeons. Pigeons in New York City, they're not wild. Like, pigeons, they're not wild. That's a domesticated creature, even though they just live outside.
But you look at something as simple as a chipmunk. I mean, a chipmunk, if you see a chipmunk for the first time, it's just going to run away from you. It's just going to get away from me. Danger, danger, danger. But when you have your house for a while and the chipmunk hangs around, now all of a sudden you turn the corner and the chipmunk is 2 feet away from you and it looks at you and it doesn't run away. It becomes used to you. So could you further domesticate a chipmunk? People probably have, I guess.
Squirrels. I know some squirrels can be pretty friendly. Yeah, rodents are generally one of the more flexible in that way. Man, I wasn't ready for this, Joel. You should have warned me on this question. I'd have come with an answer.
But, I mean, cats are, we all know, cats and dogs, completely different thing going on there. The cats, I've had a lot of cats in my life, and I don't have the link to cats emotionally that I do to a dog.
Oh.
I I mean, I've lost cats, and I think, well, that cat was kind of cool, but the dog I've lost, I'm just like, you almost get a tear in your eye when you think about it. maybe that's just me.
I think so. And I think I'm different in a way that I consider myself quite lucky, which is that I grew up with a dog. His name was Blaze. We had him from when I was 5 until when I was about 17, and then we had to put Blaze down. But Blaze lived outside and didn't live in the house like many dogs will. So I was pro dog, but I didn't realize what living with one could be like.
Right.
And then
right.
I went 15 years after we put Blaze down, and it was last year we got Toby, and it's like, oh my gosh, in the interim I got a cat. So now I am head over heels for both.
Yeah.
Dead even, different ways. I'd die for either of them.
Psychologically, mentally, we'd be a lot worse than we already are if we didn't have dogs and cats.
Worse than this?
Well, I think it would be.
There's worse than this?
Hard to fathom. Pat Kreitlow is on the way in next. We'll talk dogs coming up later this hour. We covered cats quite a bit, but we'll talk about dogs coming up. Pat Kreitlow, more news that you can use on Up North News coming up.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You've probably felt it yourself, overdoing it a little bit with beautiful weather. Well, guess what? As the harvest season approaches, farmers need to listen to their bodies as well. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday, and a couple tips on what to pay attention to. That's just around the corner.
Farmers and ranchers across the country trust Can-Am because of how they build, support, and stand behind their machines. Now they're backing that trust with even more. Get 24 months of coverage when you purchase select Defender and Outlander models through the Can-Am Agricultural and Business Program. That's how confident they are in the durability of their units. That's not all. You also get a rebate up to $3,500. Give your fleet the upgrade it deserves. Visit the Can-Am website to learn more about the program. Offer ends October 31st. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Dr. Jay Makovic is part owner of Belleville Chiropractic and Wellness Center. He grew up on his family's farm in Muscadet and understands firsthand the hard work and dedication that farmers pour into their livelihoods. But as the harvest approaches, he also reminds farmers, listen to your bodies.
I think we're seeing more injuries. Low back strain, low back irritation, nerve irritation, disc injuries, and also a lot of soft tissue injuries from that static position when they're in these pieces of equipment and machinery. And we're seeing that they're doing this for such long periods of time that their ability to recover and for that spine to be really be resilient, it diminishes. We have to really be able to communicate that first and foremost to the patient that I understand, again, being a farmer, that's going to happen. We have to better educate and empower the patient to that it's not the end of the world.
Mostly, Dr. Jay Makovic from Belleville Chiropractic and Wellness Center says he wants farmers to acknowledge when their bodies need a rest, need a break, maybe even need a visit to a doctor. And remember, movement is medicine, motion is lotion.
BioVet combines the latest research and technology to develop high-quality microbial and nutritional solutions for your operation. BioVet's innovative product line supports the immune system, digestive function, reproduction, along with growth and development of your livestock. Learn more at bio-vet.com and visit us at World Dairy Expo booth number EH1503 and 1504. EH1503 and 1504.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And if you're looking to reward yourself at the end of that hard working day, the Wisconsin Beef Council, in partnership with Gather Wisconsin, has got a new tool that might help, the Prime Rib Trail. It's a statewide guide to supper clubs and restaurants serving prime rib. Right now, they've got 16 locations all across the state that dot the map, but they're looking for your input and more. It's available now at beeftips.com. That's literally a look at food news on a Thursday. I'm PM Yonke.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of dense fog through mid-morning, then expect partly sunny skies to develop, a beautiful September day with a high of 71. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows near 50 degrees. On Friday, a mix of sun and clouds, another great day with a high of 75. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Todd Alba.
From the assassination of Charlie Kirk to shootings in Colorado, how do we as Wisconsinites take care of our own mental health as we sort through the news? All that and remembering 9/11. Next time, join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
News is a separate entity from Civic Media, but we sure appreciate this partnership that we get to do every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. But you can follow my team over at upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up for our newsletters there, including the weekday edition and the Sunday morning politics edition that I put together. Again, we'd love to have you as a subscriber, upnorthnewswi.com. A dense fog advisory is out until at least 9 o'clock for much of the western half of Wisconsin. So take it easy out there on the roads. And again, forecast updates throughout the day on your local Civic Media radio network station. I really like doing segments like the one we're about to start here with Brian Kennedy, because first as a reporter and then an elected official at the state level, and now in my capacity here, I could not possibly express enough admiration for the people who run for local office. I got my start covering county boards in Eau Claire County and Chippewa County, the Chippewa City Council. And then I've been to more county board, town board, village board meetings than I could possibly count over the years, either covering them as a reporter or speaking as an elected official. It is thankless work, and yet people continue to do it because of a certain level of satisfaction and service they give to their communities. So having said all that, perhaps you might be interested in running for local office and want to know where to begin. I got a guy for that from suburban Milwaukee. Let's head down to Glendale and talk to Mayor Brian Kennedy, who's also president of the group Democratic Municipal Officials. NationalDMO.org is the website. I'll put that up on screen on social media in just a bit here. Mayor Brian Kennedy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm doing great. How are you this morning?
It's good. Good to see you. It's been a while. Yeah. It's great to talk to you, and especially about this particular subject. I mean, I of course, have now expressed my admiration for local officials. You're one of them, but I'm sure you would agree with the concept of people serving in their hometowns and what it is that you appreciate about them.
Yeah, you know, running for local office is basically because you want to serve your community. There's really not, for most of us, this is a part-time gig, you know, we all have day jobs, but we feel like there's a way that we can give back to our community. You know, most people don't understand that when you run for school board or you run for city council or run for mayor, that, you know, you're basically saying, I'm going to give up my nights and weekends to try and serve my community, and I'm really not going to get paid very much for it. You know, when I first ran for this position, Mayor Glendale paid about $5,000. You know, my wife was like, why are you taking a job that pays $1 an hour? Because that's what it felt like, as much time as I gave back to the community. But, you know, there's a lot of good that we can do, and there's a lot of great opportunities to help shape what your community will become in the next 10 or 15 or 20 years by decisions that are made today.
And I will, from a political standpoint, I'm going to put it this way. We need all kinds of folks who are willing to run for local office, and you do not have to be a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat or a dyed-in-the-wool Republican to serve in local office. The vast majority of all of us are correctly described as somewhere in the center left to center right part of the spectrum. But if people in that very large part of the spectrum don't serve, then that creates a vacuum for people on the fringes to get in. And we, I know, Brian, you've seen the danger on school boards and other places where the only person who runs is somebody who, shall we say, service is not exactly their primary motive.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, one of the reasons why in Wisconsin, our local elected offices are all nonpartisan is because there really isn't a Democratic way to pave a road or a Republican way to pick up the garbage. We're talking about providing services to our community that involve, for example, making sure you have clean drinking water, making sure that the parks are well maintained so you have a place to take your kids or your grandkids to play, making sure that our schools have the funding they need so that, you know, their libraries are well stocked, their class sizes are small enough that the teachers can meet the needs of all of our, of the students in the classroom. You know, we're not talking about setting, you know, agendas that are necessarily partisan. But the thing I've noticed, and one of the reasons I got involved with Democratic Municipal Officials or DMO, is that the people, it seems like, whose political philosophies are about serving their community and wanting to give back are more often than not on the left or the center left. You know, we don't necessarily engage in this because we've got some great agenda. We just want to make sure everybody, there's a place for everybody, everybody feels included, and that people's needs are met. And so that's why I think you see so many of, you know, Donald Trump goes after the Democrat cities, but I think you see so many of our municipal offices being held by Democrats across the country. It's because our natural inclination is to create community and to create a space for everyone and to meet people's needs.
Yeah. Another way to put it would be, you know, service driven. And you and I have both met and befriended people who are to our political right, who are amazing people because they have that service component about them. Again, we're not going to agree on everything. We're not supposed to agree on everything. We're supposed to work together, but you only work together if people with differing opinions still at least have service as one of their central values. And if people go, why do you keep doing this? Why do you engage in politics, talk in politics, serve in politics? Brian, it's because I genuinely see those people, and I know you still do today, people you don't always agree with, but there are just so many good people who want to serve their hometowns.
No, absolutely. You know, years ago, I made friends when I was the State American Federation of Teachers president, and I made friends on the other side of the aisle in the legislature. I now serve on the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District Commission with a good friend who was a Republican member of the state assembly. And we, you know, in terms of, you know, developing our policies around, you know, how are we managing stormwater runoff? How are we making sure that we're, you know, reclaiming the water before and fully cleaning it before it gets returned to Lake Michigan? You know, we're on the same page. We're about serving. You know, so Jeff Stone, who, you know, I didn't always agree with when he was in the legislature, you know, as a Republican member of the assembly, he and I now serve and sit next to each other at the MMSD meetings, and we're on the same page about serving the community. And you're right, there are people in both parties. But I would say DMO finds itself with a very large audience because I think you just see a lot more of that service component from people who are about building community and not necessarily about pushing through some sort of an agenda.
We are talking to Glenda Mayor Brian Kennedy, talking about Democratic Municipal Officials, the group. Their website is nationaldmo.org. And in looking at the website, Brian, I mean, there's no shortage of trainings out there and seminars and other things for people thinking about going into, you know, politics or public service in some way, shape or form. And yet you guys, you're giving it away. You're put right there on the website. It says, you know, here is a campaign starter kit, and you click on it and up comes a 5-page Google Doc of things to keep in mind. So, I mean, I can't imagine a better place. I'm not saying it's one-stop shopping, but this sure looks like it should be the first stop for somebody interested in running for office.
Certainly. And so it's funny, Wisconsin Democratic Party has probably the best outreach for local folks that want to run for office. You can get so much help and assistance from our state party that most state parties in the country do not have. And that's where National DMO comes in. And what we offer is essentially for those people in all those states that where their state party just isn't really equipped to offer them the resources to build a local campaign, we offer free resources. Our goal here, we recognize if you're running for school board, you're probably running on a budget of $500 to run a campaign. That's some yard signs and some door hangers, right? And then you and your friends are going to go out and knock doors together. So we've tried to help at DMO to how do we put together the right kind of trainings and the right kind of resources that we can offer to Democrats who want to run for local office. And that's even if you're running for a nonpartisan office like we do here in Wisconsin. You know, I'm still a member of the Democratic Party. And so anybody who is a Democrat who wants to run for local office has access to this training, the training materials that we have. What I would say, this summer, we did something we've never done before. We offered an all-day candidate camp. So we collaborated with the DNC training department, and on a Saturday in July, we had a 7-hour training where we essentially walked through all the different aspects of how do you put together your messaging? How do you build a database of supporters? How do you fundraise? How do you talk to people at the doors? You know, what should your website look like? What kind of things should you focus on? And we went through a whole day of training. We had 545 people from across the country register. We'd never seen anything like that before. And even some of the reddest places like Kentucky and Tennessee, having 545 people, 15% of the people who registered were from two of the reddest states in the country. So we're making significant outreach to teach people how to run for local office and to recognize that it's not that hard. It just seems daunting if you've never been a part of the political space before. And so we've tried to create these very user-friendly, easy materials, trainings that have been recorded you can watch, and a whole bunch of other resources, including even access to vendors that will charge a congressional or a gubernatorial campaign a whole lot of money, offering free or almost free services if you're running for local office, because they recognize we're building a bench here.
Yeah. And on the website, you can find things like getting your campaign started, creating a logo and building your website, and how to get started on fundraising and voter contact and mail and email programs and merchandise and even polling. And again, connecting to other folks, like you said, maybe your state Democratic Party or others. As you look back now, Brian, and I forget how long you've been involved in public service here, but if you could go back and talk to yourself as a very first time candidate, is there one thing that you would tell yourself that you to do differently or to focus on more or to sweat about less?
Yes. Don't look to national messaging when you're running for local office. Talk to your neighbors, talk to the parents of your kids' friends, talk to people at the grocery store, knock some doors, find out what people actually think. One of the things I think we have seen far too often is we have this national messaging machine that tries to tell Democrats what they need to say. And the real answers here, honestly, are found at the local level. Because if I talk to my neighbors in Glendale, it's going to be different than if you're talking to your neighbors in Chippewa Falls, right? We have different local concerns. And so I would say, listen to those people and craft a message for your specific campaign that is very local. And I did want to add one other thing about DMO. DMO isn't just about getting elected. We have two sides to this organization. Once you are a municipal official, we actually have a policy arm that combines with National League of Cities, with National School Board Association, where we hold events and we hold trainings, where we share best practices across the country. So policy language that might be implemented, in a suburb of New York City, I might find in one of these trainings and say, hey, that would be really great for Glendale. And then, somebody who is on a city council in suburban Kansas City might say, hey, I want to take that same language. So we do share best practices across the board. DMO wants to help you get elected. And then once you're elected, wants to help you be effective when you're in office. But the thing is, while we look at those national ideas, you still have to tailor them to your own specific municipality and the messaging that works in your community.
Yeah, you're not running to be, a Donald Trump light or Barack Obama light or anything like that. This is as hometown service as it gets. And that's why there are all these resources that are put forth by Democratic municipal officials at nationaldmo.org. Again, nationaldmo.org. And Brian Kennedy, the mayor of Glendale down there in the Milwaukee area, is the national president of the group and was kind enough to join us today to talk about getting your thoughts together about maybe running for office. Brian, thank you. It's always great to connect with you. Thanks for sharing all these resources. Hope you have a great day.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate you having me on your show.
You bet. Anytime. And again, nationaldmo.org is the website address. Coming up in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Sean O'Malley about your money in the markets, Joe Zepecki about some of the big headlines of the day. Chad Holmes will tell us what he's following from our civic media station in the Wausau area. That's all coming up after the 8 o'clock news. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Building and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
The Buzz of the North is now your home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
And he struck him out swinging. Went right back to that sinker and strikes out Iglesias to strand the Mets with the bases loaded.
The Buzz of the North. Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH, the Buzz of the North.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Mr. Pat Kreitlow joins us from Lake Wissota.
Everything that I know about high culture, everything I know about opera, for example, comes from Bugs Bunny cartoon. The kids are missing out these days. They got Bluey and all of that.
Well, now it's all like real.
We had coyotes falling off of cliffs. Come on.
Exactly. And now it's all this educational crap.
We really have just become the two old men rocking on the porch talking about days gone by.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
We are the National Park Foundation. And together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wbzh.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
More with Pat Kreitlow on the Buzz of the North here on a Thursday morning. Joel here and Gray, and we're solving the world's domestic pet problem here this morning.
By adding to the ranks of domesticated animals, at least theoretically.
Yeah, I think we talked about exotic pets, didn't we, the other day? We were talking about...
Yes. Wisconsin is... I think there's like two states where you can just permit-free own a kangaroo. And I'm pretty sure we're on the list.
And I've never run into one.
Anytime you share a list exclusively with just yourself in Florida, I mean, it's not a good list, but that one's okay. You know, yeah. It's just us in Florida. Free kangaroo. Well, not free. This got out of hand quickly.
All right. We talked about cats. We stressed about cats earlier, literally stressed out about cats because they can stress you out. We're talking about dogs because to me anyway, and I thought this was maybe not universal, but a higher percentage than what I thought. But after talking to you earlier this hour, about the emotional link that I have with dogs more than cats. Maybe it's just my history of dogs. And we didn't always have a dog in the house, but we had a black lab growing up that was pretty close. When it was cold, he got to sleep in the porch, but he wasn't a house dog. But he was a highly trained dog, just a very, just an awesome. He was a type of dog where you say sit and stay. You could walk to the end of the driveway. You could go into town, come back. He would still be there when you get back, waiting for you to say, okay, now we go.
I think that says a lot, though. Of course, we're talking psychology here. And as they say, if the human brain were simple enough to understand, we'd be so simple that we couldn't. But yeah, all that nonsense aside, I think most people get along with dogs better, full stop. I don't think we need a reason why. I think it's just that most people and their thought processes are more compatible with dogs who are a little bit... And I mean, if you wanted to say that differently in a way that might make more sense, I think it's because dogs are more like people. I think it's because dogs understand and care about us more than cats do, because a cat, even I've lived with my buddy Lou for 8 years now, and I'm still not sure he views me as more than the source of the food in the morning. Like, does he show me a lot of tender, loving physical? Yeah, he rubs his head all over me. It is adorable, and that looks like people love.
But probably doing it maybe just to scratch his own head.
If I stopped feeding him, I think he would stop loving me. So,
turn on you.
Whereas Toby, he'd be like, oh man, what did I do? What do I need to do to earn this back? You know, it's a different... And so I think... I hesitate to simplify it this much. I just think most people get along with dogs better because dogs get along with people better. And because there's a different direction, some people will always get along better with that other option, which in this case is cats. And there are third and fourth and fifth options. I think that between the two, dogs and cats, you've got most types of people could probably vibe with one or the other.
And I think the fact that dogs are more trainable than a cat.
100%.
I know those people listening right now are saying, I can train my cat to do this and that. But generally, if you work with a dog, you can make the dog, him or her, do certain functions that provide entertainment, that maybe provide a false sense of loyalty or friendship. But the cat, most cats, beyond my cat will respond to a command when I go, it will stop. When it's walking around in the yard, it'll stop. But I'm not going to get the cat to roll over. We're not going to play fetch. We're not going to retrieve ducks from the water. That's just not what a cat does. It's instinctively what a dog does. But the dog has, I think, that trainable thing, and also can I have a purpose too, hunting dogs and stuff like that with a real purpose. The canine dogs, haven't seen a canine cat yet, maybe they exist, but it's just a whole different thought process.
One of the things that I think bears mentioning is that you start with wild dogs in various places of the world, and from them you get domesticated canines. In most cases, we're familiar with many dogs that descend from wolf stock, but there's also, like our buddy Toby, he's from dingo stock over there. I mean, yes, there were wolf stock dogs bred with dingoes to create that stuff, but you get the idea. There's wild dogs were the beginning of all of them in one flavor or another. And if you look at a wolf and you look at an English bulldog, you can see that we've made a couple changes. You look at a cat, and you look at the Egyptian Mao, which I believe is one of the earlier links to the ancestors of earlier cats, and it's the same. I think that speaks to the basic characteristics of the animal. And I think, I am no psychologist, animal or otherwise. Don't even start me with people. But I feel comfortable saying that I think the dog psychology is, maybe as a product of that change over time, is just more moldable. I think the cat is clay already dried.
Hey, that's a great way. It's a sculpture that is already hardened.
Exactly. You found it, and it's not going to change.
Yep. And the dog is, you're right, adaptable. I mean, we have a dog at our house that we adopted. It came from Texas on a van, abandoned on the street, little pug dog, mostly blind. Has a little jacked up hip because he was a puppy mill dog.
You about to tell me he picked up a banjo and started singing the blues?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I mean, he was when we got him, he didn't know how to eat out of a dish because he had already he had pretty much always eaten either off the ground or in his kennel, and wasn't domesticated at all. But just a sweetheart, has never bit or nipped or anything. But after about 6 months, he's good to go. He adjusted to everything, and he is just in love with just hanging around us. Yeah. Just happy guy.
And when I met Billy, like, it was so perfect because I didn't know he was coming that day. And I just, out of the corner of my eye, sitting there, I was still in sales at the time, and I just hear... I was like, what is
a pug?
And I looked down, and a bow-legged pug with cataracts is snorting on my foot. He's not sniffing me. He's snorting in my general area. And I thought, I love you, and also, hello, who are you? Like, yeah. It just immediately, I was like, I need to protect this thing.
And I just love that most dogs will just attach themselves to one or two things and just run with it. Toby loves his fetch toys. My little Billy loves his mama. And when she leaves, he's not happy. But he holds nothing back. You know what he loves, all right? I'm a Viking fan, but occasionally on a group of Packer fans, I'm not going to express that love toward my team too much. But a dog would. A dog would just say, go purple!
Yep. Say what you think. Done.
Yep. Speaking of that, tomorrow, we're going to talk football. I've got something tomorrow that's going to blow your socks off tomorrow. Talking football.
Wait.
All right, more of Pat Kreitlow and Up North News here on WBZH, the buzz of the North, and a good Thursday morning to you, Hayward, at 7:59.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Law enforcement scrambling to find the killer of Charlie Kirk, the 31-year-old leader of the most powerful conservative youth organization in the country, Turning Point USA. Kirk was answering questions from the crowd at a rally on the campus of Utah Valley University when a bullet hit him in the neck, killing him.
We were like 15 feet away, and I thought like the shot was like a firecracker or something. It just didn't seem real.
Mia Grant, who was at that rally, President Trump calling Charlie Kirk a good friend and calling for flags to be flown at half-mast in honor of him. Official commemorations are beginning this hour in New York City and at the Pentagon, marking 24 years since the 9/11 attacks. A ceremony begins next hour in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where United Flight 93 went down. We are finding out this hour new inflation numbers, including on the Consumer Price Index. The Fed meets next week to decide on interest.